Well, said Reg in a sudden seizure of doubt, I suppose, well, so long as you absolutely promise not to tell anyone else, he carried on, I suppose you can probably work out for yourself that I used two of the salt cellars on the table. No one was going to notice the difference between one and another. The quickness of the hand, you know, deceives the eye, particularly some of the eyes around that table. While I was fiddling with my woolly hat, giving, though I say so myself, a very cunning simulation of clumsiness and muddle, I simply slipped the salt cellar down my sleeve, you see? His earlier agitation had been swept away completely by his pleasure in showing off his craft. It's the oldest trick in the world, in fact, he continued, but nevertheless takes a great deal of skill and deftness. Then a little later, of course, I returned it to the table with the appearance of simply passing it to someone else. Takes years of practice, of course, to make it look natural, but I much prefer it to simply slipping the thing down to the floor. Amateur stuff, that. You can't pick it up, and the cleaners never notice it for at least a fortnight. I once had a dead thrush under my seat for a month. No trick involved there, of course. A cat killed it. Reg beamed. Richard felt he'd done his bit, but hadn't the faintest idea where it was supposed to have got them. He glanced at Dirk, who gave him no help whatsoever, so he plunged on blindly. Yes, he said, yes, I understand that can be done by sleight of hand, but what I don't understand is how the salt cellar got embedded in the pot. Reg looked puzzled once again, as if they were all talking at cross purposes. He looked at Dirk, who stopped pacing, and stared at him with bright, expectant eyes. Well, that's perfectly straightforward, said Reg. Didn't take any conjuring skill at all. I nipped out for my hat, you remember? Yes, said Richard doubtfully. Well, said Reg, while I was out of the room, I went to find the man who made the pot. Took some time, of course, about 3 weeks of detective work to track him down, and another couple of days to sober him up, and then, with a little difficulty, I persuaded him to bake the salt cellar into the pot for me. After that, I briefly stopped off somewhere to find some powder to disguise the suntan, and of course I had to time the return a little carefully so as to make it all look natural. I bumped into myself in the anteroom, which I always find embarrassing. I never know where to look, but, there you have it. He smiled a rather bleak and nervous smile. Richard tried to nod, but eventually gave up. What on earth are you talking about? He said. Reg looked at him in surprise. I thought you said you knew my secret, he said. I do, said Dirk, with a beam of triumph. He as yet does not, though he furnished all the information I needed to discover it. Let me, he added, fill in a couple of little blanks, in order to help disguise the fact that you had in fact been away for weeks, when as far as anyone sitting at the table was concerned, you had only popped out of the door for a couple of seconds. You had to write down for your own reference the last thing you said, in order that you could pick up the thread of conversation again as naturally as possible. An important detail, if your memory is not what it once was, yes? What it once was, said Reg, slowly shaking his white head. I can hardly remember what it once was, but, yes, you are very sharp to pick up such a detail. And then there is the little matter, continued Dirk, of the questions that George III asked you. This seemed to catch Reg quite by surprise. He asked you, continued Dirk, consulting a small pocket-book he had pulled from his pocket, if there was any particular reason why one thing happened after another, and if there was any way of stopping it. Did he not also ask you, and ask you first, if it was possible to move backwards in time, or something of that kind? Reg gave Dirk a long and appraising look. I was right about you, he said. You have a very remarkable mind, young man. He walked slowly over to the window that looked out onto Second Court. He watched the odd figures scuttling through it, hugging themselves in the drizzle or pointing at things. Yes, said Reg at last in a subdued voice, that is precisely what he said. Good, said Dirk, snapping shut his notebook with a tight little smile which said that he lived for such praise. Then that explains why the answers were yes, no, and maybe, in that order. Now, where is it?
Where is what?
The time machine. You're standing in it, said Reg.